Here we go again today on Podcastmagoria. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Podcastmagoria's Halloween A to Z. My name's Autumn.
And I'm James.
Hey, I didn't know what the vibe for the opening should be because, folks, we are bringing you our X movie today, and if you listened to the previous episode, and if you've listened to previous years, you know, Extro.
Oh.
And this is Extro Cubed. As they put it in the title.
They couldn't really make up their minds on what they wanted this movie to be called.
No, they could not. Because some things just say Extro 3. The actual title of the movie, when we see it, says Extro Cubed.
Yeah.
And then at the very end of the movie, they got the the secondary title, Watch the Skies.
And if you go online, it doesn't even say Extro 3 at all. It just says Extro: Watch the Skies.
Yeah.
At least we're consistent with the Extro movies as far as never quite knowing what the hell's going on.
But hey, this one, it has a budget. It has some people in the cast.
You could actually see what's going on.
A little bit, yeah.
You can understand, for the most part, what people are saying.
Sure.
And you can clearly tell whose name is what.
Yes, that was a relief.
Yeah.
To know who was who.
Yeah. We didn't have everybody possibly be the character Mancini. Yeah, so let's go ahead and dig in because
we knew what we were getting ourselves into, James.
Oh yeah,
from
yeah.
the previous
oh,
ones.
Oh boy, yeah. This movie came out in 1995. It runs at an hour and 37 minutes. When it opens, we automatically get slapped with the title of Extro Cubed. And then we see a spaceship that kind of looks like a cock and balls.
Kind of.
Hey, you know, Sigmund Freud would probably have something to say about this.
It looks almost the exact same shape as, you know, that Star Trek meme where Kirk is holding the big, like, styrofoam thing that looks like a penis.
Yes.
That is the exact shape of this ship, is
yeah.
that styrofoam thing.
Yeah, the styrofoam penis.
After we see that, we're on a newsreel.
Yeah.
This extra movie already has a vastly different vibe from the previous two.
Yeah.
Because this one's actually got a little bit of camp in it.
Yes. Yeah, they do this, you know, old-fashioned black and white newsreel where it's just like, oh, looky here, a boy had tried to pull a hoax showing that there was a UFO. But don't worry, folks, none of that was actually true. And little Timmy here apologizes, so no need to worry about aliens. So it's kind of neat that here we are again with a movie that opens with aliens
mm-hmm.
and then it being black and white.
Yeah.
And then jumping to the modern age. I've lost count on how many movies this year we've had this weird fake out.
How did we accidentally pick a whole 26 movies that are pretty much all connected?
Yeah. And almost filmed, like, in various ways filmed the same, like, format.
Yeah.
Where it's just like you have a cold open that may or may not be connected to the rest of the film, because it really depends on which movie we're talking about here.
Right.
And a lot of them happen to have aliens in the beginning of it also.
Yeah.
Or at the very least, like, it's this weird confusion of what era is this movie going to take place in?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's so amazing, especially the whole black and white thing. Like, because we had that a couple of times.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to make of it.
I mean, I know the extra movies have been weird so far, but I really didn't expect it on this one. As I said, it brought in a little bit of campiness
to it
because it's all, it's very like, you know, that kitschy, like 1950s vibe.
Yeah. What it did is it gave me a false sense of security.
It did.
Because I was like, oh, this movie might be delightful.
Yeah, this one might be fun.
Oh, that feeling goes away real quick, because it then goes to the modern day and we see a lady pull up to a motel and she goes to one of the rooms and is interviewing a man that's kind of staying in the shadows. And he's like, I have to tell you this true story of what really happened, but I have to be careful because people are looking for me. My name isn't, I can't remember what fake name he gave, but he ends up revealing that he's actually Martin Kern. He's a vet and he's got so much to tell.
Yeah, he was in the Marines all the way up until this mission.
Yeah.
But what happened on this mission to make him not a Marine anymore?
Well, I think we're about to find out. We have a flashback. Oh, no. This jumping around in time nonsense is going to kill us. Luckily, this is the only flashback, I guess. Well, that gets a little complicated later on, too, I suppose. But for Kern's story, it is now weeks before, and we have him getting called in to do one more mission. And he's being told that this mission's going to be real easy. All it is that him and a team of folks are going to go out to an island, and they're going to be removing old hardware in military speak, meaning weapons and explosives, mines, yeah. And to clean it up before they reutilize this island.
Yeah, and the main concern is, well, what's out there? And the general's just like, ah, don't worry. There's no nuclear chemicals
out there.
You just need to retrieve the ammo and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
No big deal.
Real easy. And it's just, and Kern's just like, well, what about my team? And it's just like, whoa, you'll be familiar with them because they're going to be some of your former students. And he's just like, oh, shit.
Yeah. When he sees the list, he's just like, really? These bums?
Yeah, yeah. This guy's a complete psycho.
Yeah, know? He might as well have said that.
Yeah, yeah. It then goes to the bar where those complete bums are hanging out. And it's a rowdy bunch of Kern's team. They're playing pool. They're getting into shenanigans. He lines them up so he can introduce them to Fetterman and Watkins. They're the top brass. They're the ones that are actually heading this mission. And we are then easily introduced to each one of the characters. We have Riley, Banta, Hendricks, and Friedman. Friedman, for all y'all out there going, wait a minute, that guy looks an awful lot like Tom Hanks. He's like Diet Tom Hanks. Ah, he is, because it's Jim Hanks, Tom Hanks' brother, who often does the voice of Woody for all of the extra material for Toy Story. So all the video games, a lot of the stuff for like rides, all that crap, that's what he does. He goes in and does his voice.
He sounds just like him enough.
Yeah, just like him enough indeed. Yeah.
As the crew are introduced to Fetterman, they're so disrespectful, embarrassing Kern.
Yeah.
As we said, they're just a rowdy bunch.
Yeah.
So yeah, the mission's not going off to a great start.
No, it's I'm getting this McHale's Navy feel off of this.
Yes.
Speaking of McHale's Navy, they're now on a boat heading out to the island. And we see some more of the interactions between the various Marines. Riley is hitting on Banta. Riley is like the creep of the group.
Yeah, yeah.
He's always trying to get in the pants of Banta and then later on Watkins. I don't really like any of the characters in this movie, but he's definitely the one I like the least.
Oh, well, yeah.
And that's
yeah.
weird because the fact that he's not even the villain.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you point that out because I, too, don't think I like any of the characters in this movie.
Yeah, no.
Not even old Jim Hanks' character.
Well, you know, he's barely in it, so like, every time True. He says a line, someone talks over him.
He must have had a high paycheck.
They had him a part of the movie just to be like, oh, look, see, we have a Hanks on the film.
So, oh, yeah, you know, come on.
This is a serious picture.
Banta easily dismisses Riley and goes off to talk to Kern, and he lets her know that, hey, you know, there's actually going to be two camps involved, and I want you to be the leader of the other one. I really trust you. I think you're a great kid, especially out of this group of bozos.
Right. Yeah, he even gives her the opportunity to pick her team. She's just like, well, I'm not going to have Riley on my team. I guess I'll have Hendrix. She looks over and sees Friedman and Hendrix just like goofing around. She's like, on second thought, and he's like, nah. You said Hendrix.
Yep. You get to have the goofiest one.
Mm-hmm. About this time, Fetterman comes up and starts to brief him a little bit more on the mission. He's just like, this is going to be real simple, folks. Just get out there, collect the ammo, disarm any mines. Mm-hmm. And if you find any files, don't fucking touch them.
Yeah.
Don't look at a single one.
Yeah. And if you find anything else weird out there, don't look into it too much.
Yeah. Yeah, you might find something weird, but don't worry about that. Actually, I probably should never have said anything about just forget what I said. Go back to being a bunch of assholes. I'll be over here.
Kern is super suspicious now.
Yeah.
He's trying to talk to Fetterman a little bit more about the mission, and he's still just being so vague about yes. the whole thing. So after a night of travel, they finally make it out to this island and they begin to comb the beach straight
yeah.
away.
Yeah. They're playing Minesweeper for reals. So some of the team members are already out on the beach and then some of them are still back on the boat. It's Banta and Hendrix. And we get to see a little bit of Hendrix's personality, which... he's just a stoner, guys. He's just hanging around smoking weed. And Banta's just like, I don't want you to be doing that shit while we're doing this mission because I don't want you to blow our asses up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, at this point in time, how is he able to be a stoner and in the Marines?
You know, you got to have cannon fodder somewhere.
We have Riley and Friedman going about and sweeping the area, and they come up to some old barracks that have been pretty much destroyed, obviously abandoned, and Friedman starts to talk about that classic story of the lost colony of Roanoke, and this is just like Roanoke.
Oh, yeah.
Where they found the word on the tree, Croatoan, and, you know, he tells that classic story, freaking Riley out. We do see that Kern is also a part of this crew because
yeah.
just a couple of beats away, he finds a locket off to the side that says, "To my darling, 1955.
Who would name their kid 1955?
What I was going to bring up was, 1955, wasn't that when the newscast happened at the beginning of the movie?
But that was just a hoax. That has nothing to do with anything.
That's weird, yeah. though. Isn't that a weird coincidence?
All right. For the sake of simplicity, guys, so we've got our two teams. We've got our Friedman, Riley, and Kern team. We've got our Hendrix and Banta team. I don't know what the hell Fetterman and Watkins are up to. Probably nothing good since Fetterman is clearly the villain of the movie. So I think it'll be good to kind of let's stick with what happens with Riley, Friedman, and
Team
Kern.
A.
Yeah, Team A.
And Team then, B.
And Team B, yes.
Because
B
I
for
mean,
Banta.
B for Banta, mm-hmm. Team B for the losers because it's
right.
Hendrix on the team. Banta, she's cool.
I guess she's all right.
She's all right.
Yeah.
So, let's stick with Team A for now because they're still sweeping the area. This movie has a lot of just long scenes in it of
yes.
not a lot going on.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on right now until Kern finds a jawbone.
Yeah. Oh.
And then he finds another bone. And then he finds some more bones. And even more bones. There's a freaking massacre that happened here.
Yeah. It is just a big old pile of human remains. And he's just like, golly, this mission gets worse by the second. That damn Fetterman.
Yeah. Kern's already been suspicious. Now he's even more suspicious. Can he get even more suspicious?
What is the limitation of suspiciousness?
Like, right.
Like, how suspicious can you be until you hit that you completely distrust a person?
Because at this point, I feel like he should have just completely distrusted the whole mission.
Yeah.
But no, he's like, I'll just see how this plays out, I guess. I got some reservations about this mission, but I don't know yet.
Yeah. And I'd like to point out that throughout the movie, they drive this point into the ground because every so often to connect scenes that we don't need help connecting, we have the voiceover of Kern going, and then it was nighttime. We could tell it's nighttime because it's dark and everybody's sleeping.
Every time he does the narration, though, doesn't he mention, and I was growing suspicious?
Yes, every single time. And it's so freaking ridiculous. All right, let's check in with B-Team and see what those losers are up to. They're continuing to poke around and look for mines and all that stuff, and they come across some bunny remains.
Yeah, this just mangled up white rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, from this point on, we're going to start seeing a lot of rabbits.
Yes. Every single scene has, it's like the aliens in the first few seasons of South Park, where every single scene has an alien hidden in it.
Yeah.
That's this. This is every single scene has a rabbit somewhere on the screen.
I swear it's almost like they actually filmed this movie in order. And up until this point, we're like, oh crap, there were supposed to be rabbits all over this island.
Yes. Yeah. So they really drive that home.
Yeah. This is a odd little scene where there might be something going on with the technology on the island, because as they're looking at the mangled body of this rabbit, their Jeep that had the music on, it suddenly stops.
Yeah.
And when they get back, Hendrix is like, somebody stole our radio. And for some reason, Banta doesn't believe him.
Yeah.
Even though she can see.
Yeah.
And she can hear that the radio is no longer there.
Right.
But she's like, oh, come on. Don't be fooling me. That's just silly.
Yeah. Jumping back to Kern, he's showing Fetterman the remains, and it's just like, hey, you got to tell us what's actually going on this island, because we clearly have a mass grave. There must have been something fucking weird that happened here. And Fetterman's just like, listen here, don't you go around asking questions. Just you and your team of bozos need to do your orders, and that's it. And just like, I mean, give them something.
Yeah.
Give them anything.
Yeah. Let them know what they're fixing to die of.
Right? Yeah. Just be like, well, don't let go. It was, yeah, there was an illness and they all had dysentery, and make something up on the spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although it would be really awful for them to have died of dysentery and they just left their bodies there to rot.
Well, you know, they didn't know what gave them the dysentery. It could have been boiled stewed peas, or it could have been some sort of man-made disease. No telling.
We now have the crews coming together. Team A and Team B are meeting, and they find the remains of this lab facility where they're like, oh, this explains the rabbits.
Yeah. Banta's just like, it was very clear that the rabbits are the descendants of these test bunnies from way back in the day. And since there was nobody here to stop them from fucking, they just went rampant.
Yeah, and they must be multiplying all throughout this movie because we just see more and more and more.
Yes.
These are not like island rabbits or anything like that. They are your pet store, bright white, pretty little bunnies.
Yes.
So you can see them when they're on screen.
Yeah. Kern, being the captain of great morale, is just like, I think maybe the remains of those people were the ones that were being used as guinea pigs. Gasp.
I mean, he's having to use his imagination because nobody's telling him what happened here.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, my brain would probably go there too.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Now it's nighttime and the crew sits around and they start to hear noises from the woods.
Yeah. And they go to investigate and it turns out that they're not alone. There's a strange man running around.
A very strange man.
Yeah. Yeah, they easily grapple him to the ground and hold him through the night. And the next morning, we see more of the stranger, and he's just speaking complete nonsense and gibberish. The only thing that's really clear is that he keeps saying that you won't make it out alive. And Fetterman's just like, don't listen to that crazy old kook. You need to go out into the island and find where he's been surviving at. And it's just like, well, since Fetterman technically knows exactly what's going on, why would he tell them to look for where he's been surviving? Because that's probably where some evidence is going to be hiding.
Right.
So you should just be like, oh, this guy must have washed up on the island and he's crazy from being alone. Go ahead and put two in the back of his skull.
Yeah, I thought we weren't supposed to look into anything else on the island too much.
Hey, you questioning Fetterman?
No,
I'm
not.
You're questioning your life.
Hey, I'm just saying. He said not to look into it.
And now he says you do. Look into it. So follow orders.
Yeah, it's funny because they're like straight up just they're pampering this little guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's getting a sponge bath from Watkins.
Yeah, we've barely seen her.
Yeah, I honestly forgot she was a character.
I kept forgetting about her until she showed up, and then like I'll say what it's like. The last third of the movie, we constantly see him.
Yeah, it's nothing but Watkins. And it's just like, what have you been doing the entire time?
Right.
And why do we actually even really care about you? Team A and Team B split up again. Again, just for simplicity's sake, let's focus on Team B because, mm-hmm. oddly enough, they're the most important team for this part of the movie.
Yes, very important. Hey, we had the foreshadowing earlier that him smoking weed was going to create some sort of accident.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? He's smoking weed on the job again. And so Team B has a bomb incident.
Yes. Yeah, he's not paying attention, blows up one of the mines, and this triggers another mine to explode. And when they investigate the area, they discover that that secondary explosion punched a hole in the side of a hidden structure. Oh, How did we not notice this giant ass? Like, because later on, we get to see the size of this huge concrete cube.
Yeah, I was going to say it's cube shaped. It's not nature shaped.
Oh, my God, Autumn.
What?
Cube.
Extra cubed. Oh, my God. I get it now. Oh. I get it. They're so smart.
Everything I was going to say about this movie is completely invalid.
Yep.
This is actually a genius masterpiece. Holy crap.
I can't believe we came up with that at the exact same time.
All right. Forget anything else we're going to say, folks.
This movie is amazing. Great. Yep. Watch it.
Yep. Thanks for listening. Oh, boy.
Okay, well, we might as well see what's in the cube, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
and so
see what's in the cube.
Wink. So might as well send the stoned guy in.
Yeah, he's real chill. He loves holes.
So we get to see Hendrix go into the structure, and we don't really see what happens to him. Some strobing lights happen.
Yeah.
Some screaming happens. Banta runs.
Yeah, she's climbing out of the area, and she puts her hand into some extra goo.
What is the goo?
Well,
because it is looking suspicious, if you ask me. I'm feeling like Kern over here.
Well, whatever it is, it starts dissolving her hand.
Oh.
And so we've got, this is kind of like the Blob.
But we finally get to see a little extra guy.
Yes, we get to see the cutest little puppet.
Yeah, he is nothing like Extra 1 or Extra 2.
No.
He's actually kind of precious.
Mm-hmm.
obviously they were trying to film him where you couldn't see his little arm. Also, the way that they have this scene filmed of Extra when we first see him, it looks like he's like in A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Yeah, yeah, he looks like a little magical fairy.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
a little pixie Extra.
So, Banta's scared of him because, I mean, her hand is dissolving, but at the same time, I would have been like, oh, look at that little fairy.
We see, I had mentioned earlier, Watkins bathing the old man. She, I guess to show that she's probably one of the very few good people in this crew, she's almost taken by the the old man.
I couldn't tell if she like had a crush on him or what.
Yeah.
But she's kind of like whispering to him, being like, oh, don't worry about anything. I know about the alien.
Yeah.
And it's okay. I know what happened on the island. Is she a good guy? Is she a bad guy? Because she works with Fetterman so closely.
Right.
I don't know this character's drive necessarily.
No, I don't think anybody really did. She ends up overhearing Fetterman on the phone discussing what's going on the island with whoever his shadow organization is, and also hears that they're going to have to kill the old man. Oh, dear.
Yeah, he knows too much, and they can't take him off the island.
Right.
Because he's too crazy now.
Yeah. Now, Team A arrives at the structure where Banta and Hendrix had previously been, and Kern is just like, well, someone's got to go in the hole to find Hendrix. Hey, Riley, you look like a brave guy. Go ahead and poke around in that hole. And Riley's just like, well, I don't want to do that. And he's like, shut up, you. Get in that hole. Riley crawls into the hole, and he finds the same stuff that we just literally saw Hendrix find, which is we got a tunnel. He gets to a certain point. Strobe lights happen. A hatch opens up. He goes inside. And this is where I get really confused.
Yeah.
Because, like, the rest of the gang go in.
Yeah.
And when they're getting, first of all, when the rest of the people go in, they don't have to crawl. They're just walking to where the hatch was.
Yeah.
They go inside the hatch, and then the interior of the ship, I suppose, looks like more interior of cave. It's so incredibly confusing because it's like, okay, well, they're inside the ship. Shouldn't the ship not look like rocks?
Yeah, I couldn't, sorry to the set designer, but I did get a little confused with this layout. And the inside of the ship, it reminds me of like a old office too.
Yeah, well, because they get to the main chamber, which again is just more cave.
Yeah.
But it has a bunch of old equipment inside of it.
But there's also like boxes and stuff.
Yeah.
As if Extra was like, oh, better pack it away in a box.
Yeah, there's like shipping crates and all this stuff. It's just like, it's incredibly confusing as where we are and why we are. They do end up finding the remains of Hendrix. They also find some gooey sacks.
Oh,
well, you love gooey sacks.
I don't know if these gooey sacks look chewy, though. But I also, it's funny that you're like, oh, you can see everything in this one compared to the last one.
Well,
they do too many close-ups.
Okay, so in all fairness, yes, Extra 2, it was incredibly dark, so you have no idea what you were looking at. In this one, it's well lit, but I still have no idea what I'm looking at.
Because as I said, they like do way too close-up on stuff. And I think it's because they didn't have a lot of belief in their special effects.
Yeah.
So when I saw this sack, to me it looked like a mosquito.
Oh, yeah.
Like a scrunched up mosquito. So I wasn't necessarily sure what I was looking at in the split second that we get to see these membranes.
Yeah, it is incredibly confusing. And, you know, if you're going to spend money on special effects, you might as well let the rest of the audience see what the hell you spent your money on.
Yeah. And, yeah, don't leave it all up to our imagination or else you get crazy things like I did.
Exactly. Yeah, after they find Hendrix's tore up body, Extro is stalking them, and Banta starts shooting at, well, literally everything. And
she's got a good aim, just like Van Helsing does.
Right? Now, this is the problem, is they're presumably inside the main room of an alien ship, which they don't know it's an alien ship, but they're inside close quarters, and she's firing a gun, which is missing whatever the hell she thinks she's shooting at, hitting the walls. Nobody's taking the time to think about the ricochet aspect of it. She's going to accidentally shoot one of the other guys. Like, this is just a bad choice.
Yeah, it's not good.
No.
And probably not a part of Marine training.
Probably not. They all run out since they got to get away from whatever the hell it was that had tore up Hendrix. When they return to the main base camp, they discover that Fetterman fucked off with their boat. Now, a little thing that happened while the main crew was stuck inside the Extro ship is we do get a little peekaboo at base camp where Watkins did let the old man free.
Mm-hmm.
Fetterman smacks her around. And it's just like, you've killed us all, pretty much.
Okay.
Great.
And Friedman had ran away.
Yes.
From the crew, makes it back, and Fetterman gives him the order to go and find and kill the old man.
Yeah, so a little bit of plot, just the tiniest. It's not like it actually matters, but it is just to make note, and also to keep things nice and confused.
Right. Plus, we had to get that Jim Hanks, his important part of the movie.
That's right. That's two big lines in the movie so far. Because we got the Roanoke stuff and then him getting to talk to Fetterman. Wow.
Wow. They really got their money's worth.
That's right. Oscars, are you listening? Watkins explains to them that basically, yeah, like, they're a suicide squad. The mission was to see what's going on with this alien, and that the plan kind of was for them all to die.
Yeah, that's why they sent the dumbos.
Yeah, the worst of the worst. Kern even goes, well, what about you? Aren't you then one of the dumbos? And she's just like, I guess I am. Boo. Kern's just like, well, we got to get the fuck off this island. I'm going to call the one guy I know I can trust. And that's the guy that set him up onto the mission in the beginning of the film. Maybe the guy that sent you on this mission is not the one to trust. But okay, Kern. He calls up Gardino, in case you were wondering what his name was.
Oh. Well, yeah, because I literally didn't write it down.
And he's just like, hey, things have gone sideways. We need an extraction as soon as possible. You can't tell anybody because no one can be trusted. And Gardino's like, oh yeah, man. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I got your back. Don't you worry, son. We're going to get you the help you need. He hangs up the phone and then rings up his wife and says, hey, are those dinner plans still up? Okay. I'll be seeing you later on tonight, honey. Ta-ta. This is our hint that he does not give two fucks about Kern and his team.
Yep. He knew what kind of mission they were going for.
Yep, glad we got to see that character again. Later that night,
they find the old man again.
Yeah, we get the same fake out from earlier of them hearing something. It's the old man. Thank goodness we found where he was. He, in his gibberish, raggle sprout, you know, fluoride in the water and tinfoil hats, he leads them to where he's been staying this whole time.
Yeah, and it's a long ass scene of them walking to get to his little bunker.
Yeah, for some reason, while they're doing this, Banta gets split off from the rest of the group, even though she was the one that... Like, I don't understand.
She found him and was like, yeah, let's follow him.
And then beelines for nonsense.
Yeah, I couldn't tell what it was that stopped her. Because, like, I think it's her flashlight goes off and then it seems like she's hurt. I don't know.
Well, you know, you break off from your group. the worst thing ever is going to happen. You're going to get wrapped up in some of the worst fake spider webs outside of the Dollar Tree.
Yes. It was straight up the Halloween spider webbing that you can get at Walmart.
And it's just so funny. We are hitting Ed Wood levels of ridiculousness where she's acting like she's struggling with the spider web, but at the same time, she's spreading it over her face. And, you know, folks, you know how fake spider web looks when it's not been properly stretched.
Yeah.
You can see the little
like cotton
weight.
Candy.
Yeah. And it's bunched.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's what it looked like. They didn't stretch it enough.
They just tossed the bag to her and go, make it work, honey. She's like, okay. Yeah, this is like the Ed Wood movie Bride of the Monster, where the guy is wrestling with the not animatronic octopus.
Yeah.
You know, where it's just like, okay, just writhe around and be sure the tentacles are on you. That's what she's doing with the spider web. It's so funny.
Yeah, so things aren't going good for her, but hey, at the bunker, everything is going fine with Kern and the old man.
Yeah.
You know, Kern's getting to see all of his decorations. He's excitedly showing him stuff, shows him his pet bunny.
Oh, yeah.
And shows him his friend that's in there in the bunker with him. His friend.
Yeah. Give him a clip keeper.
His friend. He's been holding a dead body in this bunker for all these years.
You know, it'd be nice if we knew who that dead body was.
Yeah, well, I don't know who it was or why it was important or why it needed to be in the story,
right?
But it's just a funny little quirk of this guy's.
Yes. Banta isn't the only one that's having some Extro problems, because Friedman ends up getting tongued by Extro. We needed to have another magical power for this alien fairy.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, they decided that was going to be this long, ridiculous tongue that I think also does the acid thing.
Yeah, or something. Because it's not electricity either. Like,
no.
I don't know why these people are dying from his tongue.
I don't either. But yeah, Friedman, I thought, was or had been killed. However, they cannot decide on how bad or good Friedman is doing. Because from this point on, every time we see him, he is either on death's door or he's just palling around. It's like, did Jim Hanks forget?
Right.
Did everybody on the set forget that he just had his throat cut by, or melted, or whatever the fuck, by this tongue? And that they literally had to carry him back? Some time passes after we have this little bit of confusion with Friedman. Another factor of this movie, another Ed Wood-esque thing about this movie I want to specify is, from this point on, I don't know how much time actually passes, because it almost seems like every single shot, it's randomly day or randomly night.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it is now the next morning, I assume. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I say that is because it's the quote, next morning, Banta is still in the webbing and sees the invisible, weird special effect outline of Extro. moving around, and it's a lot of these, like, really, for whatever reason, when we get to the Banta scenes, it is super, like, artsy weird, where they do these shots real close up of her eye, and there'll be flashes, and then that's why I'm saying I don't know what time of day it is, because it kind of keeps bouncing back and forth between daytime and nighttime when it's showing her and also Extro.
Yeah, it's so confusing, and I honestly wish the rest of the movie was filmed like the webbing scenes, because they look cool.
Well, this part, the webbing scenes are the closest I think we get to, like, Extro 1.
Yeah.
As far as that disorienting weirdness that, personally, I love about the first film.
Yeah.
It's a mess. But it's entertaining, and it keeps you guessing the entire time. This movie is a little bit too much like the second one, where you got all this military stuff that's just getting in the way. Amongst all of the madness that's kind of happening with Banta experiencing Extro Extro reaches over with his little creepy thingy and asks her for a rusty spoon.
I literally said, oh my god, it's Salad Fingers.
Yes, yeah, it was a very Salad Fingers moment.
Because he is just like caressing her face with his weird little thingy.
Yes, yeah. Back to the survivors and not fully knowing how much time has passed, they're just hanging out with the old man and they watch the old film reel that he has of the UFO crash and them meeting the aliens and them torturing the extras.
Why they let a little kid come in and film all the experiments on the extro, I don't know.
This is all very confusing.
I'm glad they're getting to watch some wholesome old movies with the old man.
Yeah. This scene is very reminiscent of the attic scene in Christmas Vacation.
Yes. So in this footage, we get to see the traumatic experience that our little extra had to go through.
Yeah.
Seeing his, I assumed it was his mom at first because he's tiny.
Yeah.
In the cage. And the one on the slab is huge, but apparently it's his mate.
Potentially.
That they took a little baby out of, a little baby extra out of.
It's very confusing and also just furthers the point of them never really knowing what size they want extra to be.
Yeah.
Because it, with the one that's actually on the island hunting our heroes, that size of that alien changes constantly.
Yeah. It seems like, though, he's more or less close to human size, not itty bitty.
Itty bitty, yeah.
Because he looks like one of the sewer boys from Dick's the Musical.
Yes, yeah.
In this scene.
Oh, so realistically, if they would just spit some deli meat into Extro's mouth,
yeah,
that would probably solve all their problems.
He would be very happy.
Yeah, he's just hungry.
Yeah, he's just hungry.
So at least now we finally have the character drive for Extro.
Hooray!
We have the villain origin story. Wow.
I do like the little baby Extro fetus, though, that they take out of the big one.
Yeah.
No, it's cute.
We know where the money went for the special effects.
Yeah.
It was for this throwaway scene.
Oh, this wasn't a throwaway scene. As you said, this was the character drive for Extro.
You know, a monster can just be a monster. It could have just been a murderous alien, but all right. Kern, after watching this, just like, well, we have to go find Banta. And they, him and the team, continue to look around the island to see if they can find her. They hear her screaming in the distance. So Riley and Kern, they set up shop up in a tree. And Kern's got a sniper rifle. Mm-hmm. And just like, I'm going to take the shot. I'm going to shoot that fucking extra. Biffs the shot.
Uh-huh.
And then we have more of that weird daytime, nighttime shit with Banta.
Yes.
And then finally, Kern puts Banta out of her misery. He's just like, I would have wanted her to do that for me.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a nice device that the movie does, because earlier in the film, Banta had killed that mangled up rabbit.
Yeah. Oh, good job for seeing a cool connection there.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, genius movie.
Golly.
Genius film.
Yeah, this is next level stuff. Look out, Kubrick. Like, I think we've got, this is up there in cinema. Kern and Riley return to the hole, and Riley is starting to go stir crazy. Friedman is now looking like he might be at death's door again. I guess, you know, he's still feeling ill.
Not really sure what's going on there. We do finally hear some helicopters overhead, though.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So it looks like Kern's call to his buddy was actually helpful.
Hooray!
Or was it?
Oh, no. It's not.
We've got a Pontypool situation on our hands where the military is just bombing the fuck out of this island. Why didn't they do that to begin with? Like, why even have people go to the island if you knew that? I mean, realistically, they knew they were going to have to fucking do this, because there was no way that what was the original mission plan going to be?
Yeah.
That the team of assholes managed to somehow not fuck up the mission, clean up all the mines, mm-hmm. and then what? The next group of dumbasses come out to open up the concrete slab to retrieve the extra.
I'm wondering if they were just going to bomb the island anyway.
I think that was it. Maybe they were just hoping that they were going to find, you know, someone's lost car keys.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
or a locket that has darling 1955.
Before the bombing, we got to make sure we get all the important items
off.
Yeah,
all the trinkets and shit.
Well, you want to know what else is baffling about this scene?
Oh, yeah. What you got?
Friedman is all of a sudden like, oh my gosh, I didn't close the bunker. I've got to go up and close the door. Oh, I'm dying, but I forgot about the damn door. Yeah. It's my fault. So even though they're just fine, it seems like even though the bombs are going off all around them, everything's fine without that door being closed. So you should probably just stay there.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Why didn't anybody else go, hey, you just stay there because you're fucking dying.
Yeah.
We'll go close the hatch. But instead, his stupid ass painfully crawls up to close the hatch.
Yeah. And, well, Extra really liked him.
Yeah. Yeah. We get a fucking facial in this movie.
Yeah, we get to see where the extra gunk comes from, and it is from his mouth, but it still looks very suspiciously like jizz.
Yes, yes. This is a jizzy alien. I didn't think I was going to have to say that today.
And we're not talking about jizz, the Star Wars musical genre.
Yeah, he didn't show up in the tube and start playing a space clarinet. No, we're talking about semen. We're talking about demon alien semen.
It looks so gross.
Yes. Yeah. Poor Jim Hanks.
Yeah, he gets bukkake'd and his face melts away. And
yeah.
I think that's probably the end of Friedman now.
I would hope so. Just for his sake.
Kern should at least put him out of his misery, if not.
Fuck it. They start to escape out of another area of this bunker cave, and Extra is coming after them. He tries to do the tongue thing on Riley, but Riley cuts the tongue. Oh, that was easy enough.
Yeah. Now he can't do that special little trick anymore.
Yeah. They run from one cave to another cave.
Cave on cave on cave.
Mm-hmm. Extra quickly gives up on the pursuit of the gang to go back to home base for Extra to play with his sack.
Yeah, that's that's literally what happens.
Yeah, thankfully this gives Kern the opportunity to regroup, and they start to come up with a plan on what they're going to do with Extra and how they're going to escape this situation. And it's just like, how is this movie still going? Like it should have been just, I wish that Extra would have just killed him at this point, because now it's just like, I don't want any more. I'm done.
I've had my fill.
I'm full.
I've been done with this movie since the rabbits, okay? So the next morning, they're starting to set up their whole big plan. They create a trap for Extra, which actually works. They get a grenade thrown at him, but Extra doesn't go down.
No. No, they just trap them inside the cave that they were just in.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's simple enough. Another time jump happens, and the gang are hanging around a campfire, and they're listening to one of the radios they had found that functions still, and hear that the government has hoaxed their deaths on the island, saying that it was just an ammunition mishap, and that they're already gone. They're like, son of a bitch, we gotta get off this island so we can prove that we're not dead and that the government's hiding this Extra situation.
Yeah, and I can't remember who was taking pictures this entire time, but somebody's been taking pictures, so they need to make sure that camera stays.
Yes.
And they gotta get that film reel from the bunker.
Yeah.
Oh. They gotta make sure they have all the evidence that this actually happened.
And while they're doing all that, they also need to build a raft.
Oh, I'm so exhausted. I'm so exhausted.
Yeah. The next morning, they're building a raft, and for whatever reason, Riley's advances on Watkins work, and they decide they're going to go have like a skinny dip together on the beach down the way.
Yeah.
Not the time, guys.
Well, no, that's not even it. He wanted to take a bath.
Oh, yeah. He wanted to take a bath.
He's like, ugh, I'm so gross and ugh, I feel bad. Yeah. We should go take a bath at the beach.
But also trying to make that sexy.
We're in the Marines.
You're
on a mission.
Time is of the essence.
This is not the time for a bath or even any canoodling.
Well, Watkins thinks it's a perfect time for all of that. And so they go off together. And unfortunately, that's when they're caught by Fetterman's goons. Riley is killed. And then Fetterman himself catches Watkins.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, take me to the rest of the assholes. And she's like, no, they died. They died in an explosion. And he's just like, I don't believe you. And she goes, well, I can show you their bodies. Ha ha ha, clever Watkins. She takes Fetterman and his goons to the cave where they had sealed up Extro.
Okay, now, if you thought the rest of the movie was exhausting, it just gets even more exhausting from here on out because there's all these goons running around. We're getting back and forths of them and Extro and them and Fetterman and them and Watkins. And oh my God, it's just so much. This last third of the film, yikes.
Yeah, okay, so
how can we tighten this up?
I'll tell you how we're going to tighten it up. What you just said of them going back and forth and escaping from the goons and finding the goons and getting captured by goons. A lot of goon stuff happens. And then Kern, and again, time means nothing on this island.
No,
because we go from day to night, night to day, and it's nighttime again. Kern swims out to the boat that Fetterman and his goons had arrived on.
Mm-hmm.
Fetterman is somehow already on the boat, inexplicably. They have themselves a tussle. Extro shows up.
I also want to point out that Kern came to this boat with just a little itty-bitty knife.
Oh, yeah. He has like a little pen knife. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Fight off Fetterman.
Yeah. Well, fight off whoever he found. He didn't know Fetterman was going to be there.
True.
Didn't know he's going to be fighting the final boss.
All right. Well, no matter what, he thought he was going to fight him off with that itty-bitty knife.
He's a dipshit. It looks like Kern might actually lose the fight to Fetterman, but that's when Extro also is hanging out on the boat. How did Extro get there? I guess swam. Fetterman screaming at Kern to shoot Extro because in the kerfuffle, Kern had gotten a hold of a gun. But then Kern turns and shoots Fetterman instead.
Uh-huh.
Gives a nod, I shit you not, to Extro.
Yes.
Extro might as well have been wearing like a little cowboy hat and tipped the hat to him. Then Extro floats up into the air.
He ascends to the heavens.
Yes. The spaceship breaks free of the concrete cube.
The little penis goes up into the air.
It picks up Extro. And now we are back to the beginning of the movie in the motel with Kern telling a obvious exhausted reporter.
I'm exhausted
the story.
Too, lady. Yes. Okay.
She's like, I don't know if we can sell this story. And he's like, but I have pictures and proof. And she's just like, this is a lot to swallow.
I'll take your stuff and we'll see if we can do something with it.
Yeah.
Break to what they did with the story. And Kern is now being put in psychiatric care because they think he's crazy.
Yes.
And they're like, well, it is cool that he didn't turn out dead, but it is a felony to act like you're dead, by the way. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So he gets locked up and we see the old man.
He's made a life for himself out here.
Yeah, he's out there on the street. He sees this news broadcast and he just starts yelling at random passersby. They're lying. They're lying. Wahoo! And he's like dancing in the middle of the street, so happy to reveal the fact that someone is lying, none of these people are going to know what the fuck he's talking about because he's cuckoo bananas.
And not everybody that he's talking to has seen the TV.
No, no. And they definitely weren't out at the island.
Yeah.
As the camera pulls back, we get the giant block text, "Watch the skies." The end. What a mess. Okay.
I like it better than Extro 2.
Anything's better than Extro 2. Extro 2 is such a fucking drag. This is not much better. So this is the thing. Verdict, obviously, this is a shit film.
This is, just as awful. Only watch the first Extro.
Yeah.
We'll see what Extro 4 is like when it comes out.
It's supposed to be an actual proper sequel to the first film.
Oh, I hope so.
But from what I've seen of the sizzle reel stuff that the director had filmed for it, it looks like if you were to take Birdemic and The Room.
No.
It somehow made them worse in About Aliens.
No.
So don't expect anything great from Extro 4 when that finally happens. If it'll even be called Extro 4. Who knows what it'll be. But yeah, so this is the craziest part about all of this, is the fact that Extro 3 is actually legally streaming on Tubi.
Yes.
No thank you, Tubi.
Yeah.
Why is that? Why is the third one the one that actually gets proper distribution?
Because it has Jim Hanks in it. He's got a contract. Come on.
He's one of the shareholders for Tubi.
That's right. Come on.
So it's just so crazy because Extra One, as batshit nuts as that movie is actually a real film. It looks like a movie. It feels like a movie.
There's somewhat plot.
There's something going on with it. It has like 5 different cuts. So it just kind of depends on which version you see as far as how confused you actually get. The second one is a garbage. It's like a made-for-TV movie from a sci-fi channel.
Just threw whatever they could out there.
Yeah. It's a lame knockoff of Alien in a lot of ways.
Yeah. This one has plot. Has people in it.
Yeah.
Had a budget, but it still came out so sloppy.
Yeah. I think they just need to abandon the whole military thing.
I really do think so. I'm not big on like military stuff in movies anyway, but can we just have an alien movie where it's just that, no military involved at all?
I don't understand. Like, I hate when a horror movie franchise just decides to lean real hard into the military stuff.
Ooh, we're talking about a lot of zombie films here.
Yeah, and I know this is hot water territory.
I know.
But my personal opinion is, like, some of the best zombie franchises are ruined by the military stuff.
Yes, it is,
because unless you were in the military, who gives a shit? I don't need to hear all the fucking jargon. I don't care about these problematic characters, these people that have these cookie cutter personalities. You have the pervert, you have the asshole, you have the goofball, and then you have the tough as nails but actually sensitive lady character in the mix.
Yeah.
And then if you're lucky, you'll have the ditzy girl character that shouldn't be there in the first place. She's usually a pencil pusher or a doctor or some sort of scientist that nobody wants to be there.
Yep.
And that, I mean, with that generic description of those characters, I've described like 50 different fucking movies.
You really
and
have,
then
yeah.
You just replace whatever the monster, whatever it is they're fighting. It's either going to be an alien, it's zombies, it's a disease, it's another power-hungry militant that's a part of the group that, you know, turns crazy. It's so incredibly basic and it's so incredibly lazy when you just go, oh, well, the plot is the military happened.
Yeah.
Then the monster's not even the villain anymore.
And that's literally what happened here. Was the big bad was the military because they try to cover up all this stuff about this alien.
So there are so many other things that do this better. If you're wanting something that has a watch the skies mentality, just watch X-Files.
Yeah.
X-Files, I will also argue, When it gets really heavy into the military stuff, also makes the show suck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really stopped caring about it whenever it hit that stuff.
I missed the monster of the week.
Yeah. some people think that that's the bet, like, what makes it good is the giant government conspiracy. And I'm like, conspiracy is fine. But
I want fun.
Yeah, but I don't care about guys in, you know, black military gear running around with rifles. That's boring. So if you must, check it out. You can find it on Tubi. I'm not going to recommend this.
I'm not going to recommend it either.
I'm not going to tell you to not watch it, kids, but you know, you can definitely miss this one. It was so incredibly hard to actually talk about this movie.
It really was, yeah.
It was a chore to watch, it was a chore to write, and it was a chore to talk about.
We had a lot of discussion beforehand on how can we tighten this up?
How can we make this make sense?
Yeah, so.
So, all right.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to make sense of it, try to watch it on Tubi, I guess, but.
The best parts are in the fucking trailer. All right, folks, that brings us to the end. This episode of Podcast Megoria's Halloween A to Z. Our next episode is our Why episode. Why for You Should Have Left. Okay, well, that's different.
Yeah, don't know anything about that one.
I don't know jack shit about this movie other than the fact that Kevin Bacon's in it.
That's it.
So let's see if he can cut footloose in this one. All right, find out how we feel about that movie next time. Until next time, if you find yourself in a ragtag group of dipshits going to an old military installation on an island to clean up ammunition, maybe question what's going on. Be sure that you are watching the other troops. You're watching where you're stepping. You're watching the skies. And most importantly, you are... to stay spooky.
Blah, blah, blah.
Bye. You've been listening to Podcast Megoria, hosted by Autumn Campbell and James Davis. Theme by James Davis. Like what you heard? Be sure to follow us wherever you get podcasts. Be sure to check out our social media and TikTok for additional content and spooky previews for future projects. And as always, stay spooky. Hee 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 hee.